Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, Patriots and Redoubters. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is Radio Free Redoubt. It is the 6th of October. That came up pretty quick, and that means a couple of things. First of all, we are going to be doing our raffle tonight for the Outfitter second generation from Amp 3. And a couple of announcements, and we're going to do something different tonight because I had an interview all lined up with Stuart Rhodes. Most of you know that there is a program that the Oath Keepers are working on. Stuart and I were talking about this with a couple of other Oath Keepers. This is a project that's been in the works for a while, and now it's finally coming to fruition. And these are, what we're going to do is try to reschedule for next week because I can't get a hold of Stuart now. And we had everything all lined up. We're all excited to cover this. And now I'm not getting an email back from him, and he's not answering his phone. And so... Oh, man, he stood us up. We're going to have to hold a trial and sentence him to the island of perpetual tickling or something severe. He's a very busy guy, and he's got a lot of moving parts going on. And if anybody can understand that, it's me. So my problem is, though, I didn't have a backup plan, which is something that you should always do whenever you have an interview lined up, because I normally do, but this time I don't. So we're going to do this show a little bit differently. And I want to talk about some things because we're living in some very uncertain times. That air raid siren at the beginning of the show is just a not-so-subtle or subtle reminder of impending danger. And I don't want to get into the doom and gloom stuff. I really can't stand that. But we also have to face the reality that our country's changing. Our country has changed, and if you study history and you have any kind of situational awareness about you, we know that things were probably not going to go back to the way that we knew America to be. As Christians, there's a lot of prophecy that we see. Warning signs that danger is coming. We have history to look at to be able to recognize danger when it's coming. Some very unsettling things that are going on. I'm not going to get into the news and commentary and all that stuff. Fox 519 did a somewhat extended eye on the economy this evening. And so he's going to address the government shutdown and some of the implications of that. But there's some things that I do want to mention. There's a lot of activity right now among the Department of Homeland Security, our military. There are confirmed and unconfirmed reports of everything from truck drivers hauling signs full of signs on an 18-wheeler in the back that say martial law in effect. professionally made signs all ready to go. And there's been a lot of military movements, drills on U.S. soil, a lot of sightings of Homeland Security vehicles, tactical vehicles, MRAPs, if you will. And a lot of activity is really kind of geared toward this FEMA Region 3, which is the northeastern part of the United States, you know, around Virginia, West Virginia, Maine, Delaware. What that means, we don't know. But there are just so many things going on, indicators that are unsettling, just to make you can't help but to look at it and say they are preparing for something. Nobody seems to be able to put their finger on what this something is. And we've talked about this before. There's so many variables, from civil unrest due to any number of things, hyperinflation, food shortages, the continuing economic collapse, a pandemic. There's a lot of stuff that I want to cover on that, and we will here over the next week or two. There is with this MRSA virus that has a lot of people concerned. The World Health Organization is there's a lot of chatter going on there as far as how to deal with this potential pandemic. They're very concerned about it, and of course, it comes at a time when the federal government shut down, and oops, well, we can't do any research as far as you know, pandemics go. So I don't know, but in Washington State, there have been three different reports, confirmed reports from credible and reliable sources of active duty military carrying out operations to include assisting with Washington State Patrol with checkpoints where they were stopping commercial trucks, 18-wheelers, and then sending them on their way. Why? I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff going on that we need to just be paying attention to, what's going on, and be watchful, be prayerful, and be prepared. There are also rumors of, with the government shutdown, that they're saying mixed reports, actually, between WIC and food stamps getting cut off in the coming weeks, if this isn't, I don't want to use the word resolved, because if they raise the debt limit temporarily, even, they're not resolving the problem. But I'm not sure if there is even a solution anymore to the problem. It is mathematically impossible for us to pay back what we are indebted. And so there's a lot of concern about the effects, the ramifications of just food stamps alone getting shut off. I was talking to a gentleman who is a police officer, and we were talking about this, and he said that, he says, oh, I know. He says, my wife works at, it's a chain, a grocery store chain. He says, my wife works there, and they had a meeting. They were talking about this, the potential of shutting some of the stores down, because they make about 50 to 60% of their income from food stamps and WIC. And I was just astounded by this. And I was talking to a couple of other people who have acquaintances or family members or whatever in the grocery store industry. And they're saying, yeah, we're 60, 70% of our income comes from food stamps. Is that mind-blowing? Where does everyone else shop? I don't know. Maybe it's probably higher at Walmart. I don't know. But we see what happens in Oakland or some other communities where they run out of Air Jordans on the first day of its release. And we see riots. We see mobs. We see people breaking glass. Fighting in the streets because they can't get a pair of tennis shoes or the latest iPad or iPhone or whatever. So when food, and the thing is, they won't be out of it as far as food goes. When you're out of Air Jordans, well, you can riot and break windows all you want. You can even rush the security guard and go into the store and there are no shoes there. But when there's food on the shelves where they can see it, but they just can't buy it, that could be problematic. So the response to that could be pretty heavy-handed if things get out of control on a real widespread basis. And we're not even talking about the economic collapse. We're just talking about that one could be the one trigger event that just sets all the other dominoes falling in motion. So I want to remind you that if anything goes down, in order to be able to communicate, communications is key. If things are disrupted intentionally, man-made disruptions, just to gain control over the chaos, like we've seen in the past with San Francisco shutting off all the cell phones in the subway system when they were having a terror threat drill, or even a potential, a riot, a fight, some large melee breaks out, and they want to grab control of the communications really quick so people can't call their friends for help and, hey, join in this mob. They shut down cell phone communications, internet, and so on and so forth. Or it could be some other event that shuts down communications. And in either case, you want to stay informed because your chances of survival and making good informed decisions are based on the flow of timely information. If conventional means are disrupted, of course, we use the AMRON operators, our volunteers, who on a regular basis practice with their equipment, and that's designed to keep you informed and keep patriots, like-minded redoubters connected in case of a down situation. I want to urge you to practice in those nets. If you're concerned about OPSEC, you don't want to get on there, you just want to sit and listen, well, then I want to encourage you to at least listen and monitor so you can practice with your equipment and so you can understand the lingo and start becoming comfortable with this new skill set that is really important. On that note, the AMRON nets are increasing in participation. They're becoming more and more successful, more and more AMRON operators from the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network and the American Prepper Radio Network, TapperNet, they're increasing in numbers and skill sets and so on. So I want to remind you to go to the website at radiofreeredoubt.com, go to the AMRON nets, and print that page out, copy and paste it into a Word document or something, so you have a printed hard copy of the regularly scheduled net frequencies, which are most likely going to be used. That's the first phase of communications. In a grid down, really bad situation, we would be implementing the communications plan that you see outlined there. If you click inside the American Redoubt, you can go to the communications plan for the AMRON communications plan. And it outlines each time window that you want to tune in to various different frequencies. And that would happen several times a day. As things increase, what we're going to do is try to codify some of the procedures. So in a down situation, you'll know if communications are going to be going out daily, the same time as the regular nets, but just increase to a daily basis. Or if it's a real bad situation and there's a lot of information flowing quickly, then we would probably, you know, go to the 2 to 3 or 4 times a day communications time windows for you to be able to get information from the Ameron operators. So anyway, I wanted to point that out to you. I want to urge you to print out the Ameron communications plan. Those of you who are members of the American Redoubt Network, you have access to the non-private or the non-public side of that. And it gives you alternatives in case one band or frequency is not available for any number of different reasons. So anyway, I just wanted to cover all that for you. Print that stuff out and just know that if things get really bad here coming up, to just go by the times and the frequencies and bands and modes that you see outlined in your regularly scheduled net communication schedule. And then, of course, you'd be advised from there as far as if there's going to be any increase in the tempo as far as that communications plan, where they would be communicating more frequently over a 24-hour period. So I wanted to get that out there. And that's one of the things that I wanted to cover in that show a few weeks ago titled In Case of Emergency. Now, we're going to do the raffle here in just a couple of minutes. And I know a lot of you have been waiting for this. We've got the other raffle coming up in December, and that is for the full body armor, the KD armor with armor carrier, the plates, the 30-round magazine pouches, dump pouches, and an AMP 3 blood stopper kit, pushing about a $650 value. Could be yours for as low as $5, $5 a ticket, or three for $12. Let's see, what else did I want to cover here? There's something really important. Anyways, kind of threw off my mojo. Anyway, we'll get Stuart. We'll get all back on track again. Threw me off. My fault. My bad. For not having a backup plan. Oh, this is what I was going to mention. Now, by the way, thank you so much for you guys' letters of encouragement and ideas and input and things like that. A few things I just want to get caught up to speed here. Last week when I had mentioned this email that went out to some people, it said U.S. Forest Service continues unlawful de facto wilderness policy. Okay, I said, hey, you know, don't click on this because I don't know who this is until I find out and so on and so forth. Apparently the sender is a legitimate guy. He's a patriot email warrior, and he's on an email campaign covering some issues that pertain to the American Redoubt. And so he basically copied and pasted some of the logos and headers from some of the websites, Patriot websites in the area, that that are based out of the American Redoubt area. So that's how, it was a one-time deal that he used the Radio Free Redoubt logo in there. So that just... it just made me concerned. I didn't know if somebody was trying to, you know, give you all the impression that we're sending stuff out, but it wasn't. And so anyway, that checks out. Nothing nefarious there, so far as we can tell. We are still working on some introduction to ham radio type tutorials that we are going to be putting into YouTube videos to help bring everybody up to speed, because some of the requests from people who are fairly new listeners and haven't been able to go back and listen to all the archive shows and dig through them. And so that would be a pretty daunting task to go back through all the previous shows and pull everything related to ham radio, because we sprinkle it all throughout. But what we're going to do is consolidate into a resource that you can go to, to expand your skill sets on communications. And we're going to do that with other things as well, but we're going to start with the communications because that's really important. And that's kind of a cornerstone for Radio Free Redoubt. Now, speaking of previous shows, one of our probably most popular shows was episode 1301, where we got the most positive feedback on, among, of course, several other shows. But for our new listeners who haven't been able to go back to January of this year, I covered the Second Amendment and kind of current events as far as what we're facing and what our responses should be, and just pondering what some of those responses should be as Christians, as patriots, as redoubters, as American citizens that are concerned about our rights being eroded. And it really helps get your feet under you to understand what those fundamental rights are, where they come from, and what they mean to you. Just, I think you'll enjoy listening to those. They're informative, and they hold your attention. There's a lot of really great information. So we're going to re-air segments 2 and 3 from episode 1301, which was the very first episode of 2013. And so we're going to do that here in just a moment. Okay, it's about that time. We have a raffle coming up. And I want to start by saying thank you for all of you who have helped to support Radio Free Redoubt. Because unfortunately, there will only be one winner. Someone is going to win the second generation of the Amp 3 Outfitter. It's a retail value of $270. And so we are going to be pulling somebody's name out here in just a moment. So, but I do sincerely want to thank all of you for helping to support Radio Free Redoubt through this raffle. And I want to, just wish all of you luck, Godspeed rather. Okay. I've got, Mrs. Schmidt here in the studio, and she is going to be drawing out the name of the winner and handing me the ticket, and I will go ahead and read that here in just a moment. So that, just to reiterate, the Amp 3 Outfitter, which is the Generation 2, $270 value. It's got 84 different items. It rolls out. It is in a coyote brown rollout bag that's compact and lightweight. Amazing. Let's see here. It has, of course, this was custom designed by David, who is over at USNER Doc, the YouTube channel, from Amp 3. They're made with pride in the United States, in Oregon, not too far from the American Redoubt. This includes the a trauma pack, musculoskeletal pack, dressing pack, a miscellaneous wound care and fabric dressing packs, tape and wrap packs, irrigation module, personal protection kit, administrative module, medical tools, two medication modules, emergency dental module, emergency medical kit, eyewash kit, nylon clips, 550 cord, and more. So anyway, without further ado, Mrs. Schmidt, if you could do the honor and pull out the winner, and she just did. It's now, you guys didn't get the tickets sent to you, like the Katie armor. We're going to be sending all of those tickets to you each month. And in fact, the first round of tickets will be mailed to those of you coming up here. Well, by the end of this week, those will be mailed out to you. And a lot of you bought, you contributed to get a ticket for this raffle. But a lot of you, if you don't win today, you'll have a chance because so many of you also purchased the raffle tickets for the body armor. That's coming up in December. So I got the ticket here. The number doesn't matter. Let me flip it over. Big, fat surprise drum. I need a drum roll. I don't have a drum roll. I don't have a drum roll. So anyway, just the winner is, oh my gosh, I won. It says John Jacob Schmidt. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, Whiskey Golf 01, congratulations. You are the winner. Codename Whiskey Golf 01. And so I just want to say congratulations to you. You're the proud owner of the Outfitter 2, Generation 2 kit from Amp 3.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Well, folks, the government is shut down with no end in sight. Or is it? This is Fox 519 with you for Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. And this week, we will be covering the latest from the government shutdown and what that means to you and me as patriots and preppers. We're also going to cover some important timelines as well. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. Two pine trees are leaning toward the west. Again. Two pine trees are leaning toward the west. End of message.
Welcome back to Eye on the Economy. Just like I promised at the end of last week's show, it's been a bumpy one. We now have some 800,000 people, or government workers, out of work right now. They're furloughed, they aren't being paid, and there isn't an end in sight yet for them. As we know, Monday at midnight, the government shut down. Now, I want to be clear, this shutdown is both good and bad. It's bad for the folks who are working for the government. But it's good in the fact that we aren't piling up more debt. This is what I call a really bad two-edged sword. But there's probably something you didn't hear this week with all the fighting and bickering going on. According to the Daily Treasury Statement for October 2nd, which was released on the 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Treasury spent a total of $63.262 billion in the first 2 days of the fiscal 2014 year. At the same time, it took in $25.681 billion in tax revenues. Then, to top things off, the Treasury sold $1.648 billion of new Treasury securities, which we all know is just government debt. Among the things that the federal government spent money on during the, quote, partial government shutdown was $1.129 billion in salaries for current federal employees. To put things in perspective, in the first two fiscal days of 2013, which was October 1st and October 2nd of 2012, when there was not a shutdown at all, the federal government spent $124.409 billion and collected $29.05 billion in taxes. And then they paid out $2.542 billion in federal salaries. Lots of numbers there, folks. I apologize for throwing those at you. You may want to back up and listen to those again. And then they sold, on top of that, in 2013, $100.91 billion in new Treasury securities or government debt. We aren't even 2 days into the fiscal year, and we're already into the red. I know I just threw a lot at you in a very quick amount of time, but it's understand we have to compare 2013 to 2012, and understanding that right now, the impact to the government, they're spending the same amount of money, close, but even though they aren't bringing in the same tax revenues, and they're still selling the debt at record numbers. This is why the shutdown is both good and bad. We have limited amount of outflows, but again, we are just printing ourselves into oblivion. But does this massive debt matter in the long run? No, it doesn't. In fact, the president decided to play his Trump card later this week when in a speech at a construction company in Maryland, he said this. In a government shutdown, Social Security checks can still go out on time. In an economic shutdown, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, they don't go out on time. Obama followed up and said, in a government shutdown, disability benefits still arrive on time. In an economic shutdown, they don't. After the president made his statement, it set the internet on fire with both mainstream media and more liberal news organizations calling for John Boehner and the Republicans to give in to the demands of the Democrats and accept the futility of Obamacare and raise the debt ceiling on October 17th. So, what major things are we looking at in the next 12 days? I want to give you a basic timeline for you all to consider. Right now, I have confirmed, through sources, that active military will continue to receive their current pay. As of the 17th of this month, if the debt ceiling isn't raised, there's a strong probability that that could be delayed until a funding resolution and the debt ceiling is raised. That also includes death benefits and also military pensions as well. I've also confirmed with a local source to the local Department of Social and Health Services that on the 10th of this month, and that's coming Friday, both the SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and WIC, Women, Infants, and Children Milk and Cheese Program, will both be out of money as they are currently both running on their capital expenditures budget. If the system runs dry, there is a strong potential for the next month's payments to be delayed by 1 month if fiat currency begins to flow again. If not, it is unknown how long payments could be delayed. Some states do have the ability to carry payments out longer through their own capital budgets, but most have limited budgets and are facing serious financial gaps as well. States such as California, Nevada, Michigan, and many of the other New Europe states will not be able to pay out benefits for more than 1 month, as their tax deficits and fee income would not be able to cover the amount of the state entitlement payments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about to get really bad out there. Should this shutdown continue through next week, we strongly could see the potential of a massive decline in the stock market, the futures market, as well as a strong increase in gold and silver and other commodities prices that includes fuel and oil. We could also see people beginning to suffer food inequality rapidly here in the redoubt, and that could be the end of October. Okay, here's what I'm doing to kind of get ready for this. This isn't my advice this week, it's my directive to you. It is time to make sure that all you can access all your financial assets quickly, rapidly, if you needed to. You need to pay very, very, very close attention to the market and the financial news this week. Things can turn on a dime. I can tell you from 14 years of experience, things can go rapidly up and things can go rapidly down. You should be talking with your broker this week about potential options for looking at things that are more secured. You will hear some experts talk in the next 10 days about how we're going to get an 11th hour deal, and we just might. But if we know, even if that deal is reached, we still have the debt ceiling fight ahead, and if the U.S. defaults on its own financial obligations, we all know that China is ready and willing to dump that dollar, and that will be the headshot to our currency. Again, like I said last week, steady as she goes, Captain. But you need to be on high alert with your preps. If you've been holding off buying something extra, now might not be a bad time to pick it up. Extra food, extra fuel, even that AR you might have had your eye on. Hey, if this all works out, then you just got some great gear to practice with and be ready for the next, you know, weather event. If not, you're even more ready than you were before. I'm going to keep the readout in my prayers this week. I hope you all will too. This is Fox 519 for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. God bless you all, and let's pray for our nation these next 14 days. God bless.
Welcome back to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Readout. Hey, we've got a ton of new members to the American Readout Network, and you can just join that by clicking on the link that says join, follow the instructions there, send us an email with the in the subject line, I'm a Readouter. Those are the magic words. But I just wanted to take a second to extend a big welcome. Inside the American Redoubt, we have new members in Thompson Falls, Montana, in Idaho from Idaho County, Kootenai County, and Boise, Northwest Wyoming and Riverton, Wyoming, two new members, Green Bluff, Washington. And outside the American Redoubt, which probably comprises about three quarters of our membership and our listenership, followership, outside the American Redoubt, and what we affectionately refer to as OARs, outside the American Redoubt, welcome our new members from California, Mississippi, Washington, Alaska, Arizona, Missouri, Georgia, Maine, and Virginia, plus multiple new members from Tennessee, the Texas Redoubt, and Indiana. Of course, those from Indiana are probably going to be redoubting pretty soon if your legislator gets his way there, huh? Okay, I got a letter I want to read to you real quick before we get to the Second Amendment stuff. This guy writes, I hang out on many different blogs, including Enola Gay's Paratus Familia blog. Excellent choice. Those guys are awesome. Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about that in just a second. There's an article over there that she posted about a week and a half ago.
He says, if you know me, I love Texas. I fear demographics are changing and Texas will be a blue state in 20 years. I'm interested in moving to Idaho and would like to know if Idaho is a property rights state like Texas and what the water laws are like for water rights. Currently in Texas, we have right to capture for water. I have a family history of four generations of cattle ranching. My grandfather was forced to sell the ranch, and I'd like to pick up where he left off, possibly in Idaho. Your advice on this would be invaluable. I listen to every show on podcast. Keep up the good work. Thank you, and thank you for listening, and thanks for the letter. I get letters all the time, but every now and then I like to throw one or two out there that might very possibly be something that several other people are wondering the same thing. I've had emails before asking about, you know, what's the property rights like in the American Redoubt. Of course, that varies from state to state. You mentioned specifically that you're interested in Idaho. The top two states that are hot spots where people are moving to are Montana and Idaho within the American Redoubt. I would say that Wyoming probably is the most... they're at the top of the list for preserving liberty, including their elected officials who are continuously fighting and striving toward protecting Americanism and our heritage and our liberties. But they are probably the lowest, or they are the lowest, as far as prosperity goes. It's hard to find good-paying jobs, and a lot of you have jobs that you're trying to transfer to the American Redoubt with, and you have limited options, so you kind of have to gravitate toward a larger, densely populated area because you're trying to support your family. Okay, so that brings us back to Idaho or Montana. All three of those, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, very strong property rights states. And, of course, those vary from state to state. I'm not aware of any laws that... do not allow you to capture your own water. Obviously, you cannot divert a creek into and across your property and dam it up because that's covered by federal law, federal waterways. And here's the problem. The Agenda 21 agenda and the federal government's environmental so-called protection agency is far-reaching. There is no place you can go where those don't affect you. Agenda 21 is in every community in the world and in the United States. So you're not going to run here and not have any issues there. It's something that we all have to fight and we all have to be aware of and be vigilant about and push back. The American Redoubt states are areas where patriots are very aware and they are pushing back the most, but we still have to contend with it. Otherwise, as it is now, they are still very strong property rights states. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. If you have any other questions, similar questions, then I'd be more than happy to address those. And also in your own research, if you come across things that could be helpful to others, post it. If you're a member, you can post it on the forum, and people are always asking about information about moving and where to move to and trying to make those decisions. So share with others. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. What is the Second Amendment? Well, it is the Second Amendment to the Constitution. It was part of the Bill of Rights, and it says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Period. So why did they put it there? So we could defend ourselves against an intruder who's got us trapped in an attic? Well, yes. It is to defend ourselves. There's no question about that. I've got a couple links here that have a lot of documentation about guns being used in self-defense. Defensive gun use studies. Now, this is really great reading, but you know what? This is also a great tool to help somebody that's on the fence. They're not sure where to stand on it, on the issue, because they're getting information from both sides and they seem confused. So guns used in self-defense and defensive gun use studies are great reading material and could persuade some undecided parties. However, you and I already know where we stand on the issue, and the left doesn't want to hear it anyway. Remember, liberalism is a mental disorder. You cannot reason with them. It's like reasoning with a drunk. They already know what they believe in. They already hate guns. They already support the murdering of children in their wombs. They want high taxes. They want lots of free stuff. And you can't reason that away from them. You can't give them a compelling argument and make them say, man, you really gave me something to think about. I'm completely changing my views on this topic. It's not going to happen. So don't waste your time arguing with liberals about these things. The Second Amendment is more than just defending yourself against a guy breaking in. It's about defending yourself against tyranny. There's so many arguments out there as far as why we don't need certain guns. Now, you and I know where we stand. Hopefully. Hopefully you should know where you stand. There's a good article out there called from patriotsline.com. Where is your line in the sand? When are you going to say enough is enough, like the founding fathers did? It's a good article. There's a lot of food for thought. I'm going to post it there so you can read it. And they state in this article, the founding fathers would be shooting by now. Would they? Now, he rightly points out that we are supposed to be long-suffering under tyranny. Great way to put that. But how long is enough, he asks. How much abuse must we suffer under a government that becomes continuously oppressive? Well, there comes a time. You got to know where your line in the sand is. He addresses this. But here's the thing. You also have to know what you're fighting for. Because it's a very compelling argument for somebody to say, look, you don't need a combat rifle, what they call an assault weapon. I like that. One of the members at that party yesterday, at the Tea Party Patriot, the coalition meeting of patriots, someone stood up and said, we need to stop calling these assault weapons. They are combat rifles. And you know what? He's right. So, combat rifles have no legitimate sporting purpose. That's the argument. We don't need guns. That's why we have 911. You don't need to go hunting with a 30-round magazine. You hear, I support the Second Amendment. I'm a hunter, but I've never used an assault weapon, that's combat rifle, to hunt deer. These guns should not be in the hands of regular citizens. Nobody needs an AR-15 or an AK-47 to go deer hunting. Or the militia, in the Second Amendment, means the National Guard. It means the army. Or you hear, they had muskets back then. They never could have conceived of a semi-automatic weapon. We don't need all these big guns running around. Nobody needs a 30-round magazine. The citizen militia is antiquated. In this day and age, we have a powerful military to protect us. When they wrote the Second Amendment, everyone had muskets, not these terrible weapons that we have today. These arguments sound familiar? Because if you don't know exactly what they meant by the Second Amendment, you could find yourself agreeing. Yeah, I kind of see the point. Do we really need assault rifles? I mean, this woman in Georgia successfully defended herself with a 6-shot revolver, a 38 special. It worked. It was enough. She didn't need an assault weapon, combat rifle. Okay, so they're saying, look, we're just talking about the assault weapons. We're not saying you can't defend yourself. You obviously have the right to defend yourself. But you don't need... How do they know what you need? How do they know what you won't need in the future? And what kind of a weapon do you need to protect yourself? Who are you protecting yourself from? Why is that there? Is it to keep you safe from burglars? Do they have such a burglar problem back in the days of the Founding Fathers that everyone had to have something to defend themselves against the burglar? Is that what they were up against? You need to understand what the spirit and intent of the Constitution, the amendments are. Thomas Jefferson said that on every question of construction of the Constitution, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. In other words, when you are trying to say, well, well-regulated militia, what did they mean? Well, I think it means this, or I think it means that. Stop thinking. Go back to when it was debated and look at the arguments of the founding fathers. Read the Federalist Papers. Look at the constitutional conventions and see the transcripts. And then that's what we pay the judges the big bucks for. What did the authors of these amendments have in mind? They'll twist and distort separation of church and state, which is nowhere in the Constitution, but they treat it like it is. But they'll take something like the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth or the Sixth, on and on, the Tenth, and they'll say, well, we think what they really meant was this or that, which is not what they meant, because you can see otherwise when you read their arguments. There's no question. So Thomas Jefferson was saying, if you're not sure, if you're not trying to interpret this, go back to when it was debated and find out what we meant. That's what he's saying. And then Thomas Jefferson said, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. I'm going to go down the list. I'm going to read you some of the statements from our founding fathers. James Madison said, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. He echoed Thomas Jefferson, a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the best and most natural defense of a free country. A militia, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms. That was Richard Henry Lee. Representative Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts, said, what, sir, is the use of a militia? It is to prevent the establishment of a standing army, the bane of liberty. Whenever governments mean to invade the rights and liberties of the people, they always attempt to destroy the militia in order to raise up an army upon their ruins. So the argument that we don't need a militia today because it's antiquated, because now we have a powerful military to protect us, so we don't need all these people running around with assault weapons, combat rifles. That's not true. We do need them because the bane of liberty is a standing army. And the governments historically have used standing armies to oppress their people. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. This is super important, people. To disarm the people, that was the best and most effectual way to enslave them. George Mason said that. James Madison said in the Federalist Papers, Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. The armed American citizen is the largest army in the world. Alexander Hamilton said, but if circumstances should at any time oblige the government to form an army of any magnitude, that army can never be formidable to the liberties of the people. While there is a large body of citizens, little if at all inferior to them in discipline and use of arms, who stand ready to defend their rights. That means you're required to train with your combat rifle. Understand that? You're a barrier between a standing army and liberty. As civil rulers, not having their duty to the people before them, may attempt to tyrannize, and as the military forces which must be occasionally raised to defend our country, might pervert their power to the injury of their fellow citizens, the people are confirmed by the article in their right to keep and bear private arms. This is a barrier to tyranny. Are you getting this? That's from Tench Cox. He also said, Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Now, when we talk about they had muskets back then. They couldn't possibly have thought about these terrible things that we have now called assault weapons. Listen to what Tench Cox has to say. He says, Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state government, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. Every other terrible implement of the soldier. What does a typical infantryman carry? That's your right. That's not just your right, that's your birthright. No cause in the Constitution could, by any rule of construction, be conceived to give Congress power to disarm the people. That was William Rawl. To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Richard Henry Lee. He was the initiator of the Declaration of Independence. Did you know that? He was also a member of the first Senate, which passed the Bill of Rights. You want to find out what they meant by the Second Amendment? You're looking right into their soul right here. To preserve liberty, it's essential that the whole body of people, always, underline, always possess firearms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. You should start your children off with a BB gun and a pop can. And then you go to 22s. And then you work your way up until they can shoot the M1 Garand, until they can shoot the M1A. So they can fire and use their M4. You should be training them when they're young. The great object is that every man be armed and everyone who is able may have a gun. Patrick Henry. Zachariah Johnson said the people are not to be disarmed of their weapons. They are left in full possession of them. Alexander Hamilton, the best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Thomas Jefferson, he said, and what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Patrick Henry said, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. Patrick Henry. Thomas Jefferson made it very clear. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Firearms stand, this is George Washington, the first and greatest president this nation has ever had. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. That's George Washington. Now, since the Constitution was ratified, there's been some questions come up. There have been charges brought. There's been interpretations, and the courts, Lord bless them, their job is to look at and interpret the Constitution. When rightfully done, when done correctly, they go back and look at the spirit and intent of the Constitution, something that our modern so-called Supreme Court justices are negligent in. This is what some of the courts have ruled. This is from Wilson versus State in Arkansas. This was the judge's ruling. To prohibit a citizen from wearing or carrying a war arm, combat rifle, is an unwarranted restriction upon the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. If cowardly and dishonorable men sometimes shoot unarmed men with army pistols or guns, the evil must be prevented by the penitentiary and the gallows, not by a general deprivation of constitutional privilege. In other words, you don't go and take everyone's constitutional right away when somebody murders someone else. the penitentiary and the gallows are what's used to prevent that. Because depriving everyone of their constitutional privilege doesn't prevent those kind of hostilities anyway. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the whole people, old and young, men, women, and boys, and not militia only, to keep and bear arms of every description. Now, they want to put age limits on how old a kid can be to be in possession of a firearm. With adult supervision, there shouldn't be an age. This court ruling right here, Nunn versus State, out of Georgia, says that the whole people, old and young, men, women, and boys, and you could include girls, not just the militia, to keep and bear arms of every description, and not such merely as used by the militia. The People versus Zurillo, Michigan. The says that the provision in the Constitution granting the right to all person to bear arms is a limitation upon the power of the legislature to enact any law to the contrary. The exercise of a right guaranteed by the Constitution cannot be made subject to the will of the sheriff. How many of you, wherever you are, have had to crawl to the sheriff's office to get a little piece of paper signed so you can own a firearm? That's why several states have shall issue clauses written into their concealed weapons permit laws, which is not really a permit. They shall issue it to you, okay, as long as you don't have a criminal history. The maintenance of the right to bear arms is a most essential one to every free people and should not be whittled down by technical constructions. That came out from State versus Kerner. In other words, you can't say, well, yeah, you can have this weapon, you can have this AR-15, but first, you can't call it an AR-15. You have to change the name. You can't have a bayonet lug. You can't have a flash suppressor. You can only have a 10-round magazine. That's exactly what this was talking about. You should not be whittled down by technical constructions as far as maintenance of the right to bear arms. And then Cochran versus the State in Texas, the right of a citizen to bear arms in lawful defense of himself or the state is absolute. I want to post this one on the website. Burn this one in. This is so important when they say that they have the right to pass a law to debar the use of arms. Listen to this carefully. This is what a judge rightfully ruled in Cochran versus State. The right of a citizen to bear arms in lawful defense of himself or the state is absolute. That's a powerful word. He does not derive it from the state government. It is one of the high powers delegated directly to the citizen and is accepted out of the general powers of government. A law cannot be passed to infringe upon or impair it because it is above the law and independent from the lawmaking power. You understand that the right to bear arms is above the legislator. It's outside of the realm of what they have the power or the authority to do. It's something they cannot touch. It doesn't even fall within their jurisdiction because it's from God. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful ruling. And of course, the one I like. Then he said unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his bag. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus told his guys to get a sword, and if they didn't have one, sell something to go and get one, but get one. And there's plenty of pacifist-type Christians out there who try to twist and turn this in every way that they can think of to say that he was just talking figuratively, or he didn't really mean a sword, or he said when they did pull one out and say, hey, we have one here, he said, that's enough. And they go like, oh, Jesus was just saying, that's enough of that nonsense. That's not what he meant. You're deceiving others when you tell them that. He didn't say go out and overthrow the government and buy a sword and start. He didn't go there. But he did recognize that when they went out, there would be danger, and they need to be prepared to have some means of self-defense. It was pretty clear. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the plans that people are talking about as far as disarming Americans. We've got a couple announcements coming up, and then I'm going to talk about that meeting. I know this is a long show tonight, but you can take it off in bite-sized pieces and listen to it throughout the week, a little 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. But I really want to cover some of this material, give you guys a lot to think about. And plus, it's been a couple weeks since I've broadcasted, and we will not be broadcasting for another couple weeks. So this will give you some time to go through some of this and look at some of these highlights and resources on the highlights and resources posting for this show. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You are tuned in to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The word ban seems to be popular here in Olympia. We have banned phosphorus in dishwasher liquid, lead in wheel weights, and many of you have heard about Senate Bill 6396, the so-called assault weapons ban. Not to be outdone, in the House of Representatives, House Bill 2477 was introduced, imposing strict liability on any person who sells a gun at a gun show that is later used in the commission of a crime. You heard that right. If this bill passed, you could be sued in court and would be automatically found at fault if someone else committed a crime. Incredible, but true. These bills substantiate the fears of many that some in government want to effectively eliminate the right to bear arms. They introduced these bills using the excuse that such legislation would have prevented the tragic deaths of four police officers in Pierce County. To try and capitalize politically on such a horrible event is beyond despicable. No amount of legislation would have prevented that tragedy. Why? Because people are not inherently good. We are all sinners, and if we are Christians, we are sinners saved by grace. There are evil people in this world, people with beady little eyes sitting in dark corners of the globe and places with names we cannot pronounce, plotting our very destruction. But not only there, some of those people live amongst us, lying in wait for the next opportunity to extend the influence of evil. But the right to bear arms is more than self-defense. It is about preventing tyranny. History is rife with the stories of people being disarmed by tyrants. The attempt to ban so-called assault weapons is an attack on the very heart of liberty, on the ability of men and women to live free. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to remind you that you are listening to a re-airing of episode 13-01, talking about the Second Amendment, what that means, and a call to action for patriots. And it was a very popular show. We had a glitch, if you're just joining us late, where the interview didn't happen with Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers talking about the new civilian support teams. It's a program that is being implemented by the Oath Keepers. We are going to try to follow up with that next weekend and get all the details to you so you can understand what these teams are, how they could play a very important and active role in your community during a collapse and a rebuilding process, and how you can get involved as well. So anyway, sit back and enjoy this re-airing of episode 13-01 and join us next week with episode 13-27.
All right, we're back at the Voice of the American Redoubt. John Jacob Schmidt, thanks for being with us. And if you're joining us late, we're talking about the Second Amendment. We went down through several quotes and arguments from the debates and different letters that were being passed back and forth between the founding fathers to look at the original intent, which is required when you are trying to find out what they meant in the Constitution. What does this amendment really mean? What did they mean by it? You have to go back and look at the spirit and intent of that, back to when it was constructed, when they had the debates, when they argued their points, and to find out what exactly they meant. We've very clearly established what the Second Amendment is for. It is to keep the citizen armed with the same implements of war as your infantry soldiers, so that you can fight tyranny, including a standing army should it be used by the government to wage injury against its citizens and to tyrannize them. It is not about hunting. It is not about duck hunting. It's not about keeping yourself safe from burglars. Although that is a peripheral advantage, that's one of the beneficial side effects of having arms. Absolutely. But it is really as a barrier against tyranny, so you can stand between liberty and oppression, clearly. And this is a heavy topic. We're going to get into some more heavy stuff here in just a little bit. Some really serious stuff for you to think about. But we're going to break it up with a little bit of levity here, because this can be sometimes some pretty heavy stuff to think about. And so somebody sent in a letter. Now, please don't send in all your... I don't have time to read... It is all I can do to respond to the letters and emails that I already get in, plus with everything else going on. Please don't send chain letters. You know, send this to everybody on your list if you love Jesus, you know, and send me some, you know, poem about some little boy who lost his puppy or whatever. I just don't have time for that stuff. So please take me off your occasional jokes and pictures and stuff like that. There's one guy in southern Idaho who sends me, it's the perfect balance. There's some great pictures every now and then, a little poem or something like that, really short, sweet, to the point. He doesn't bombard me with them. And never chain letters, thank the Lord. So anyway, but I got this one, is really cool. You live in the American Redoubt if... So number one, if someone in a Home Depot store offers you assistance and they don't work there, you live in the American Redoubt. If you've worn shorts and a parka at the same time, you live in the American Redoubt. If you've had a lengthy telephone conversation with someone who dialed the wrong number, you live in the American Redoubt. If vacation means going anywhere south of Salt Lake City for the weekend, if you measure distance in hours, you live in the American Redoubt. If you know several people who have hit a deer more than once, if you have switched from heat to AC and back again in the same day, if you install security lights on your house and garage but leave both unlocked, if you can drive 75 miles an hour through 2 feet of snow during a raging blizzard without flinching, like today, you live in the American Redoubt. If you design your kid's Halloween costume to fit over a snowsuit, you live in the American Redoubt. If the speed limit on the highway is 55, you're going 80, and everyone is still passing you, you live in Montana. if driving is better in the winter because the potholes are filled with snow, you live in the American Redoubt. If you find 10 degrees a little chilly, you live in the American Redoubt. And that is really applicable because we are in the single and teens, single digits and teens here, probably for the next couple more days. If you know all four seasons, and amen to this, almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction. Those are the four seasons in the American Redoubt. Anyway, those are a lot of fun. Thanks for sending that in. I just thought I'd share that with you and kind of wanted to lighten things up a little bit. Now, I didn't get a letter. I was perusing some of the blogs that I like to follow, and Paratus Familia blog, ran by Enola Gay, always has everything on there is worth reading and looking at. I really appreciate her insights. She posts a lot of original material, but occasionally she comes across something that's really gripping that's written by someone else, and she'll repost it. And this is an example of that. It's from a woman who went through not Germany. She lived in Austria. She said, "Let them who have ears, let them hear." And she starts off with saying, "What I'm about to tell you is something you've probably never heard or will ever read in history books. I believe that I am an eyewitness to history. I cannot tell you this first sentence is just grabbed me right there. I never thought about it before. But this is what she starts off with. Now we see Obama grabbing more and more power and collecting it to himself. Okay, we're talking about executive orders outside of the legislative. If the Congress won't pass this, then I'll do it on my own through executive order. Pretty arrogant, just like a dictator. But she writes this: "I believe I am an eyewitness to history. I cannot tell you that Hitler took Austria by tanks and guns. It would distort history. We elected him by a landslide, 98% of the vote. I've never read that in any American publications. Everyone thinks that Hitler just rolled in with his tanks and took Austria by force. When they voted for him, we were overjoyed, and for 3 days we danced in the streets. We had candlelight parades. The new government opened up big field kitchens, and everyone was fed. Then he starts targeting education. He eliminates religious instruction for children. Our education was nationalized. I attended a very good public school. The population was predominantly Catholic, so we had religion in our schools. The day we elected Hitler, I walked into my schoolroom to find the crucifix replaced by Hitler's picture hanging next to a Nazi flag. Our teacher, a very devout woman, stood up and told the class we wouldn't pray or have religion anymore. Instead, we sang Deutschland, Deutschland über alles and had physical education. Hitler resurrected the family through daycare. Healthcare and small business suffered under government. Extreme control. They redefined mercy killing. It was euthanasia. It's like they're trying here. The final steps," she said, "were gun laws. I'm just hitting some of the high points. I want you guys to go read this article. You've got to read it. You've got to know history. You've got to listen to the stories of the people who pleaded with us, pleaded and begged. Do not forget what we went through. I'm telling my story so you won't forget. Please do not let this happen to you. They write the warning signs on the wall so we will recognize them when we see them. But when we see them, we're always convinced that it's just a more improved, new and improved communism or socialism or some other type of tyranny that's really good for us. We'll see. Just trust them. Give it some time. Give them a few more $1 trillion. Give them just a little. Let's compromise our principles. Let's compromise on the Constitution because we really need to take action now. Let's pass this legislation now so we can read and find out what's in it later. These people are telling us, they're coming out of the past and saying, don't forget what happened. And we're not... I know you guys, I know where you're at. I know you see what's going on. I see what's going on. But you feel like a voice screaming in the wilderness and nobody's listening. It's like a bad movie. Like everybody's the invasion of the body snatchers. You feel like you're the only sane one. Sometimes you feel like you're living in like Alice in Wonderland. The whole world's going crazy. And no matter what you try to point out, people look at you like you're crazy. Things get turned upside down. The gun registrations came next. People were getting injured by guns. Hitler said that the real way to catch criminals, because they still had a few, was by matching serial numbers on guns. Most citizens were law-abiding and dutifully marched to the police station to register their firearms. Not long afterwards, the police said that it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. This is a pattern that repeats itself over and over and over. First legislation, then registration, then confiscation, and then tyranny. It's a pattern we've seen over and over. The police said it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. The authorities already knew who had them, so it was futile not to comply voluntarily. No more freedom of speech. Anyone said something against the government was taken away. We knew many people who were arrested, not only Jews, but also priests and ministers who spoke up. Pay attention, priests and ministers. Totalitarianism didn't come quickly. It took 5 years, from 1938 to 1943, to realize full dictatorship in Austria. Had it happened overnight, my countrymen would have fought to the last breath. Instead, we had creeping gradualism. Sound familiar? Now, our only weapons were broom handles. The whole idea sounds almost unbelievable, that the state, little by little, eroded our freedom. It's true, those of us who sailed past the Statue of Liberty came to a country of unbelievable freedom and opportunity. America truly is the greatest country in the world. Don't let freedom slip away. And here is the most gripping part of this entire story, the whole thing that summarizes it all. She said, after America, there is no place to go. People are clamoring to get to America. They want to try to duplicate it in their own countries, but their governments have such a stranglehold on them. They can't duplicate what we have in America. They're trying to come to America. This is the reason why it is so uniquely America. And we're trying to change that. And we've got a leader that's trying to dictate legislature, who already promised us, he's not a liar, he's a man of his word, I'm going to fundamentally transform America. They're doing it. How long do you wait? Where's that line in the sand? Have we crossed that line in the sand already? What should we be doing right now? Start thinking about these things. We're going to be talking about more and more of this. The people are taking action right now. These coalition, patriot coalitions that are coming together, we're going to talk about in the next segment. You need to start deciding what you're going to do. Are you going to turn in your weapons? Hopefully not. Are you going to register them? God forbid. That could be the line in the sand, and I believe that's where it is right there. I believe that it's going to be, you pass whatever laws you want because it's not enforceable. Because the law that you pass to disarm me is inoperable. The law that you passed has no authority, because the right for me to hold a firearm against tyranny comes from such a higher authority that your legislature cannot even touch it. So your rule is invalid. Now, what you do is you stand on that. And then you don't register it. Number of different ways you could handle that. You walk around carefree with a weapon that's banned, that's not registered. What you do is you just live your life like a free man. And then when they try to enforce their illegal laws, then that's when the fighting starts. You can wait until all you have is broomsticks left. Have you guys ever heard of Alexander Solzhenitsyn? He's from Russia. He was a Soviet and Russian novelist and a historian. And he wrote several. He wrote writings about the Gulag. He wrote the book, The Gulag Archipelago, and One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. He wrote this. Listen to these words. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive, and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose. and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. That's pretty amazing. Think about that. We'll be right back.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
Radio Free Readout is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreereadout.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotwaki happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
All right, guys, this was what you just heard was episode 13-01, the first episode of 2013. Talking about the Second Amendment, and all of our rights are in jeopardy. But it was a good one. It was a popular one. And if you're joining us late, once again, our interview with Stuart Rhodes didn't happen. And so we wanted to re-air one of our more popular shows. For those of you who have not had a chance to go back through the archives and listen to previous shows, and that kind of helps get you caught up to speed. Also, something that we mentioned earlier in the broadcast is for the requests that we've had from several of you about helping to get caught up on ham radio, some of these digital modes, everything having to do with communications. We are going to be putting together some aids, probably in the form of PowerPoint presentations and YouTube videos that will help try to compile all of the information that we've put out over the last couple of years, but something that would be easy, cataloged, and easy to locate and easy to find, help bring you up to speed quickly. Once again, want to congratulate Whiskey Golf 01, who won the raffle this evening for the Amp 3 Outfitter Generation 2, about a $275 retail value. It's a great advanced medical kit. And so congratulations once again, and thank you to Amp 3 for sponsoring that. And I want to thank all of our sponsors for this show this week, besides Amp 3, Katie Armour. Some great announcements that are coming from Katie Armour, the AR-500 body armor, level 3 body armor steel plates. They are upgrading that, and we are going to be talking about that next week. As soon as we get the green light, thumbs up, go ahead, final announcement from them, we're going to let you guys know, or let you guys in on that. And the body armor, the whole kit, the plate carrier and the plates, the 3 mag pouch, the dump pouch, and the Amp 3 medical kit, all of that's going to be given away in December. So it's going to be a very Merry Christmas for someone. And also, we're going to be sending the plates, all of the plates, the front, back, and side plates, back to Katie Armour. They're upgrading that and making it even that much better than the superior product they already have. And we'll be talking more about that. Also, I want to thank Revolutionary Realty, specializing in helping redoubters, patriots, and preppers relocate, specializing in North Idaho properties, with Chris Walsh over there at Revolutionary Realty, helping folks get relocated while there's still time. He's an expert. He's a prepper himself. And so it's a lot more than just a real estate service. He will also walk you through the process of fortifying your property for the security of your family and your property. So I want to thank all of the sponsors for this show, Amp 3 Medical and Katie Armour and Revolutionary Realty. All right, guys, you just have a blessed week, and I'll go ahead and wind things down. And until we meet again next week for episode 13-27, just may the Lord be with you, and make sure that you prayerfully approach the decision of relocating to the American Redoubt and joining other patriots who are taking the gap, who are making the move to the safe haven mountain states of the Inland Pacific Northwest. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is Radio Free Redoubt. Have a great week. Good night.